Copyright 2011, JKP, Radha Madhav Dham. All rights reserved.
Swami Nikhilanand is a disciple of Jagat Guru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. He resides at Radha Madhav Dham in Austin, Texas, which is the U.S. ashram of Jagat Guru Kripalu Parishad. He travels America preaching the philosophy of Sanatan Dharma as taught by Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. In this series, he introduces the philosophy of the Bhagavatam and explains how the Bhagavatam is the essence of all the Vedas and Upanishads and is beyond the philosophy of the Gita.
Chauram Shri Radhikaya Hridayasya Chauram Neelambujasya Kasturi तिलकम् ललाट पटले वक्षःस्थले कौस्तुभम् नासाग्रे वरमौक्तिकम् करतले वेणु करे कंकणम् सर्वांगे हरिचंदनम् सुललितं कंठे च मुक्तावली गोपस्त्री परिवेष्टितो परिवेष्टिताण्डघटसप्तवितस्तिकाय यो ब्रह्माणं विदधाति पूर्वम् यो वै वेदांश्च प्रहिणोति तस्मै तद्वंह देवमात्मबुद्धिप्रकाशम् मुमुक्षुर्वै शरणमहं प्रपद्ये
Dear devotees, we'll do a few minutes of Nam Sankirtan together, and after that we'll continue with this series on the Bhagavatam.
Bhajogiridhar Govinda Gopala
Jogiri
Bihari Lal Ki. In this series on the Bhagavatam, I've been explaining to you how the Bhagavatam is beyond the Gita. So I'm going to summarize some of these points for you and go a little bit more deeply into it right now. As I told you, where the Gita ends, the Bhagavatam begins. Gita ends with Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchah. Krishna's last teaching to Arjuna. He tells him, leave all the other dharmas and just come to me. Just surrender to me, leaving all other practices or paths. Just surrender to me. And then don't worry, because I will eliminate all of your past good and bad karmas. I will free you from that and I will give you moksha. Mokshayishyami. So the Gita ends with moksha. And I told you that right where the Gita ends, the Bhagavatam starts. Dharma Prodhit kaitavotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tapatrayonmulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrite Kimva Parairishvara Sadhyo Hridya Varudhyate Trakritibhi Shushru Shubhistatchanat. I explained this verse briefly earlier in the week. This is the second shloka of the Bhagavatam. Vedavyasji says, in this Bhagavatam, I'm teaching Bhagavat Dharma. the supreme dharma, which is kaitava rahit, prodhita kaitava, means without any kaitav. And kaitav means a deception, something that draws you in and you think it's worthwhile, but then later you realize, oh, I got fooled. That's kaitav. So the Bhagavatam is, it teaches kaitava rahit dharma, dharma without any deceptions. So many saints have done their explanations of Bhagavatam, but the most famous and most prominent one in use nowadays is by a follower of Shankaracharya's philosophy by the name of Sridharacharya. So the Sridhari Tika of Bhagavatam is the one which is most commonly used nowadays. And in his Tika, in his explanation, Sridharacharya says, what are these Kaitava which Bhagavatam has renounced or thrown out right from the beginning, right in the second verse? He says they are four, and you'll be surprised to hear what they are. Dharma, Arth, Kam, Moksh. The four Purusharth that everybody thinks all the scriptures say these are the four aims of human life, Sridharacharya says, the dharma taught in the Bhagavatam throws out these four, calling them as kaitav, deceptions. So dharma, arth, kam, actually it's fairly easy to understand why these would be referred to as kaitav. Think of it in this way. In Maya, we have the three gunas, sattva, raj, tam. So the kam relates to tamogun. The rajogun is related to arth, and dharma is related to sattvagun. So if anyone makes any of those the aim of their life, it keeps them under maya. So pursuing kaam keeps you, or you can say develops the tamogun of your mind, pursuing arth develops rajogun of your mind, and making dharma the aim of your life, that develops the sattvagun in your mind. So this doesn't mean that you should renounce all of your arth, all of your wealth. It just means if that's where your mind is attached, if that's what you see as the goal of your life, you're developing rajogun. If just enjoying worldly pleasures you see as the goal of your life, you'll develop tamogun. If being a good person and following all the do's and don'ts, all the rules of dharma as described in the Vedas, if someone makes that the aim of their life, they'll develop sattvagun. But whether they are developing tamogun or rajogun or sattvagun by pursuing kaam or arth or dharma, either way, they're still under maya. You actually have to go beyond sattva, raj, tam in order to go beyond maya. So even following dharma, although it's good, of course, that's why the scriptures recommend it, but it's not enough to get freed from maya. It's not enough for liberation or God realization. Therefore, Bhagavatam is not saying that being a good person is not worthwhile. Bhagavatam is saying don't get pulled into this kaitav, thinking that just following the do's and don'ts of dharma is the ultimate goal. No, that won't take you to the ultimate goal. If you think that, you got deceived by that kaitav. You have to go beyond even being a good person. You have to do bhakti and surrender to God. So Bhagavatam says we're teaching kaitava rahit dharma. So without desire for kaam or arth or even swarg, because that's what dharma gives, it gives swarg. And we're also renouncing moksha. This is the most surprising one. Because if someone gets moksha, it means they did bhakti, they surrendered to God, God's grace liberated them, God graced them and they got liberated. But Bhagavatam is saying, nope, we don't want moksha either. Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji says, Taro madhye mokchavancha kaitava pradhan. Out of the four kaitav, dharma, arth, kam, and moksha is kaitava pradhan. The biggest deception of all is moksha. Sridharacharya, even the follower of Shankaracharya's philosophy, he said moksha is a kaitav. Why? Because if you get moksha, you remain bereft of what is beyond moksha. There is something beyond moksha, better than moksha. So if you only get moksha, you merge into formless God, and that's it. That's as far as you go, and you will never know what is beyond that. So it means the dharma taught in the Bhagavatam takes you beyond kam, arth, dharma, which could take you to swarg, and it takes you beyond moksha also. So this Bhagavad Dharma taught in the Bhagavatam takes you beyond all of that. What is beyond moksha? Actually, there is some indication given in the Gita that there is something beyond moksha. Gita says, Gatir bharta prabhu sakshi nivasa sharanam suhrit. This word suhrit indicates some kind of, because Krishna is telling, I have these relationships with the souls. I am their prabhu, I am their bharta, I am their suhrit. Suhrit means he cares for us. But it indicates a kind of relationship, that there's a potential for some kind of relationship with Krishna, beyond him just being supreme God and us subjects in his kingdom. There's something beyond that. Gita says, it doesn't say what. It just indicates there's something beyond moksha where you could have some kind of personal relationship with God. There's another verse. Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritinorjuna arto jigyasurarthi gyani cha bharatarshabha. Also from Gita. Here Krishna is telling Arjuna that people worship me with four different kinds of desires, or they surrender to me in four different kinds of ways. So one is artha, someone who's in distress, and they want me to come and help them, like Draupadi. That is one reason that people surrender to me, Krishna says. Artharthi means like Dhruv. He had a desire he wanted God to fulfill, that he should become king and he should also get to sit on his father's lap. So when someone surrenders to God, desiring God to fulfill some material ambition that they have, that Krishna refers to as artharthi. He also mentions jigyasu and jnani. And he says cha. Jigyasu and jnani, this is referring to moksha, liberation. Cha is like putting and, dot, 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 but not saying what comes after. So he said like artha, artharthi, jigyasu, jnani, and, but he just didn't complete the sentence. So what is he indicating? He's indicating there's something beyond moksha. Madhusudan Saraswati, also a follower of Shankaracharya's philosophy, who later read the Bhagavatam and became drowned in the bliss of Krishna love. He wrote also an explanation of Gita, and in his explanation he says this cha, this and, dot, 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 refers to gopi prem. These were the words of Madhusudan Saraswati. What's beyond moksha is gopi prem. There are different classes of prem. The highest class of prem is gopi prem. So for now, we'll just call it prem, God's divine love. That's beyond moksha. So Gita indicates that there's something beyond moksha without telling, because it's beyond the scope of the Gita. It's not the subject matter of the Gita. The Gita subject matter just goes up to a certain point and stops. Although it encapsulates the whole theory of Vedas and Upanishad, but this very special thing that's beyond moksha is also just indicated in Vedas and Upanishads. And that's why Gita also indicates it. So let's come to Bhagavatam and see how Bhagavatam includes and incorporates the philosophy of Gita, but also goes beyond. Bhagavatam also tells about moksha, but it tells much more detail. Moksha or mukti means the same thing. Bhagavatam tells there are actually five kinds of mukti. Sarshti sami pya sarupya salokyai katvam apyuta. Five kinds of mukti. Sarshti, samipya, salokya, sarupya, and ekatva. So ekatva is what people usually think of when we say mukti. It means becoming one with God. But that means you attain formless God. So if you attain formless God, you don't get a relationship with God, because relationship happens when you can love someone that you can see, talk to, be with, interact with. So you can't interact with a formless anyone. Could you love your formless mother? It doesn't even make sense to our mind. We can't even imagine someone or something formless. So this ekatva mukti is the lowest kind of mukti. There are four other kinds of mukti. One is sarshti, which means you get liberated and you get given some power to do srishti. In other words, you get a chance to become Brahma for some time. So Brahma is actually a God-realized, liberated soul who did devotion to God with a desire to get that position, to become Brahma. So he's awarded sarshti mukti. So sarshti mukti actually relates to the topmost abode of swarg. After he's done becoming Brahma, then he goes to the divine world. Ekatva mukti or kaivalya mukti or kaivalya moksha, sayujya mukti, this refers to formless God. But there's something beyond that. There's Vaikunth abode of Almighty God. Vishnu, Shiva, Durga, all the almighty forms of God reside there. So those other three muktis relate to Vaikunth abode. If you get Samipya mukti, it means you go to Vaikunth abode and you get to be close to Mahavishnu. Salokya mukti also means you get entrance to Vaikunth abode. Sarupya mukti means you get given a form like Mahavishnu. He gives you a form just like him. You get to have four arms and decorated and dressed like him, bluish complexion. You're still you, but you look like Mahavishnu and you get to stay in his abode. So these are the five kinds of mukti explained in the Bhagavatam. Can I actually ask people to move in and maybe to the side a little bit? It seems like we're getting more and more people entering. Fill up this spot on the right side of the room. And those who are in the doorway area, maybe you can come in to this empty area. So now we know exactly what is meant by mukti. And this is an example of where Gita just refers to mukti or moksha in a general way. And Bhagavatam says, no, there's five different kinds of mukti. So it shows this is one of the ways that Bhagavatam philosophy goes beyond what's in the Gita, but also incorporates everything that's in the Gita. And it also goes on to say, this second part of this verse, telling that there's five kinds of muktis, Krishna himself says, Diyamanam nagrihnanti vina matsevanam janah. He says, if I try to give one of those muktis to one of my close personal devotees, he won't take it. Diyamanam na grihananti. He won't take it even if I'm giving it to him. Because he just wants to have a close personal relationship with Krishna. He doesn't want mukti. Nanaka prishtham nacha sarvabhaumam na parameshtyam na mahendra dhishnyam na yoga siddhi rapunarbhavam va vanchanti yatpadaraja prapanna. Bhagavatam says, if someone gets a little taste of what's beyond those five kinds of mukti, even if they just get a drop of that, then try offering them the seed of Brahma, they won't want it. Offer them to become the ruler of the entire earth planet, they'll turn it down. Offer them to become Indra, they won't want that either. Offer them yogic siddhis, they won't be interested. Offer them Kaivalya Moksh, Apavarg, merging into formless God. They'll say, no, 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 I don't want that. Why? Because I want what's beyond that. This Moksh is Kaitava Pradhan. You know why? Because if you chase after dharma, arth, kam, and you stay under maya, it means you'll keep going around the 8.4 million species of existence, you'll keep being born here in this world. You will keep suffering in the world, yes, but you'll also get a chance to attain what's beyond moksha, prema. You'll get a chance to attain that personal relationship with God. But the one who gets moksha, that's his attainment forever. Now, he can't go beyond that. So this is why moksha is the worst of all the deceptions. Because if you get moksha, it's forever. You merge into formless God, never to return. So Bhagavatam has something more to say on this subject. Muktanam api Siddhanam Narayana Parayana Sudurlabha Prashantatma Kotishvapi Mahamune. Atma Ramascha Munayo Nirgrantha Apyurukrame Kurvantyahaitukim Bhakti Mittham Bhuta Guno Hari. The virtues of the personal form of God are such that even those saints who have attained impersonal God, if they get a chance to experience the virtues, the lilas, the beauty of Saguna Sakar Brahm, the personal form of God, like Ram, Krishna, Vishnu, then they'll forever renounce the bliss of formless God. I gave you an example already of Shukadeva Paramahansa, of which there could be no greater example. There's no such example of any other saint being so absorbed in that Brahmalin state that Shukadevaji was. And he came out of that because of Krishna's gunas and never went back. He just drank the bliss, the ras of Krishna Leelas of the Bhagavatam, and kept doing that and gave that ras to others and never went back into his Brahmalin Samadhi. So this shows that what's beyond moksha is better. Although the bliss of formless God is unlimited, so you can't say the bliss of the personal form of God is more, but it's further enriched. It's like the difference in a mother's experience before her child is born and after her child is born. Before her child is born, for her, her child is nirakar. She can't see him. She can't talk to him. She has no way to interact with her child. This is like Nirakar Brahm. You know there's some God, but He's unapproachable for you. Then after her son is born, or after her daughter is born, see, before he was born, the mother's thinking, oh, when my son is born, or when my daughter is born, then I'll get to see them, what do they look like, I'll get to talk to him, I'll get to hold him, hug him, kiss him. When he grows up, he'll say my name, he'll call me mummy, he'll do all those things. But before the child is born, she can just kind of imagine it, but she can't actually experience it. So this something like this is the difference between the experience of formless God for a jnani or yogi saint and the personal form of God for a bhakta saint. After that child is born, then, oh, I can see him. He laughs, he cries, I can hold him, I can touch him. So obviously, once the mother is experiencing that, if you asked her, do you prefer this or do you prefer the happiness you felt in anticipation of your child's birth? When you couldn't actually hold him in your hands, but you used to think, oh, one day I'll be able to hold him in my hands. Would you prefer that or do you prefer actually holding him in your hands? Of course, she prefers now having her child born and sakshat roop mein. She can actually interact with her child. So similarly, after experiencing the bliss of personal form of God, there's not a single example of any saint going back to formless God. And there's not a single example of someone who had attained any form of personal God who then got a chance to experience formless God and said, oh no, I want that. And he went into Brahmalin Samadhi and forgot about Ram or Krishna. There's not a single example in our history of that happening. And although I told you, once you get mukti, once you get moksha, that's forever. But there's a small window of opportunity. Once a soul gets liberated, before they leave their physical body, while they're still on this earth planet, but they're still technically liberated, they're called jivan mukt. In that little window, if somehow they get to experience the personal form of God, maybe a saint of a higher class who's experienced Ram or Krishna's bliss, they could grace that saint of a lower class who's only experienced the Nirakar Brahm. If that happens, then you see what happened with Shukadevji, you see what happened with King Janak, you see what happened with Sanakadik Paramahans. But even after a saint leaves this world and merges into formless God, sometimes it is possible. Shankaracharya said that it can happen that because of past devotion a soul may have done to Ram or Krishna or any personal form of God, they'll actually come back out of formless God, take birth again, do devotion to Krishna, and then attain His divine love. But he says this is very, very rare. Bhagavatam indicates this as well. Muktanam api siddhanam. Bhagavatam says, out of all the uncountable souls in existence on this earth planet, just like the specks of dust, there are so many of them. Out of all of them, a few souls think of doing good karma. Out of millions of such souls who may think of doing good karma, hardly one ever thinks of getting mukti, liberation. Out of millions of souls who think about getting liberation, very rarely one actually tries and succeeds and gets liberated. And out of millions of liberated souls, Kotishvapi Mahamune, out of millions of such liberated souls, every once in a while one of them gets graced to experience the divine love of Krishna. So you can see what a great thing this is. And it's completely beyond moksha. And thus it's beyond the Gita. So Bhagavatam tells what is beyond moksha. This is why Vedavyas was not fully satisfied until he wrote Bhagavatam. He had rewritten, reproduced all the Vedas, Upanishads, Brahma Sutra, the other five Darshan Shastras, all the Smritis, Mahabharata, rewrote Ramayana. Of course, Gita is part of Mahabharata, so he had produced the Gita, and yet he was restless because he hadn't explained this last thing, which is actually the most important thing. He hadn't really made it clear, although it had been indicated in various places. So in Bhagavatam, he clarified all of that, that attaining the divine love of God, attaining a personal relationship with God, is beyond all of that. You can understand it in this way. Saints have said, once you go beyond the formless God, beyond just merging in formless God, there are five ways that a soul relates to God. Five main ways. It's called bhav. Shant bhav, dasya bhav, sakhya bhav, vatsalya bhav, and madhurya bhav. So the Gita actually relates just to this first one, shant bhav. But Bhagavatam relates to all five. This is another way to understand how Bhagavatam is beyond Gita. Shant bhav means like a subject to his king. Krishna is almighty, supreme God, like he showed Arjun in the Gita. And he was telling him in every chapter, what is he telling him? About God's divinity, about his greatness, about his powers. So this is basic important knowledge of our Upanishads, which Krishna also told in the Gita. But how can you relate to Almighty Supreme God? Just in one way, with Shant Bhav. He's Almighty Supreme God, the King, and you're his subject. That's it. Nothing beyond that. So this is what Gita is mostly about, is this almighty power of Krishna. It doesn't go beyond that. But there's so much more beyond that. You can love Krishna as if he's your master and you're his personal servant. That's dasya bhav. You can also love him as if he's your personal friend. Now you're getting like an equality between you and Krishna, which is difficult to imagine, but it's possible. If you love Krishna the way Bhagavatam says to love Krishna, it's possible. Instead of him just being the king and you're his subject, you could be not only his servant, you could be his friend. You could have an equality with him. Although he's still God, you're not disrespecting him in that way. You know he's God and you're a soul. But there's something more important than that. Krishna indicated this in the Gita also when he said, Ye yatha mam prapadyante tas tathaiva bhajamyaham. However you love me, I'll love you the same way in return. So if you love him with Shant Bhav, then he'll be Almighty Supreme God for you. If you love him with that Dasya Bhav, then he'll behave as your loving master. Not just king, but your loving master, and you'll get to serve him. If you love him with Sakhya Bhav, he will actually love you the same way in return. So he will not treat you like he's the king. He's still the king, but the king also has friends, doesn't he? So the king doesn't treat his friends like subjects, he treats them like friends. So Krishna says, if you love me as a friend, I'll treat you as a friend. I won't treat you as a subject. So that's Sakhya Bhav. Even beyond this, you could love him with Vatsalya Bhav, which means he will treat you as his mother or father. Imagine that. Now instead of equality, you're above him and he's below you. Is he still God? Yes, but he's not going to treat you in that way. He's going to treat you the same way a loving child would treat his mother or father. And you'll love him as if he's your own son. Not as if, he actually is your own son. And beyond that is the final culmination of all of this, which is Madhurya Bhav, because it includes all those relationships previously mentioned, and goes beyond that, it adds in the sweet feelings of beloved, Priyatam. Krishna is your Priyatam, just like the gopis loved Krishna. So, although Gita indicated this, but Bhagavatam shows it by revealing all those leelas of Krishna and all the Sakyabhav leelas, Vatsalyabhav leelas, Madhuryabhav leelas. It's all revealed in the Bhagavatam, and all we have to do is love Krishna in that way and he will become ours. So Bhagavatam gives us the way to make Krishna ours. I'm going to get more into that tomorrow, how Gita says surrender to Krishna, but Bhagavatam actually teaches you how to love Krishna and make him your own. So in all of these ways, the Bhagavatam is beyond the Gita. So the Gita philosophy just tells about Krishna's almightiness. It doesn't tell any leelas of Krishna. But the Bhagavatam also tells all the same philosophy of the Gita. It's all there incorporated into the Bhagavatam. But it goes beyond that and tells, but you don't have to treat Krishna like God. He can also be a close personal friend or a son, child, or beloved of yours. So, all of this means Bhagavatam is beyond Gita. And from this point of view as well, that look at the Shrota. Shrota means the one listening. Every scripture is revealed in this way. There's a Vakta and a Shrota. Who is the one telling the information, giving the knowledge? And who's the one receiving the knowledge? Who's the one asking the questions? That's the system of how every scripture is revealed. So who was the Vakta of Gita? Krishna himself. Who was Shrota? Arjun. Who was Vakta of Bhagavatam? Shukadeva Paramahans. Who was Shrota of Bhagavatam? Parikshit Maharaj. Now look at the difference between Parikshit and Arjun. Arjun was playing the part of an Agyani. What's the first thing Krishna had to teach him? You are not the body, you are the soul. None of these people are going to die. Their body may die, your body may die, but none of them can die. They're all eternal. Ajo nityah shashvatoyam purano. So it means the Gita is for agyanis, those who identify themselves with the physical body. That's where Gita starts. Where does Bhagavatam start? Parikshit is already God-realized in the womb. And he finds out, I'm going to die in 7 days. He doesn't even feel a tremor in his heart. Like, oh, I'm going to die? He just thought, oh, it's a perfect chance for me to just sit and listen to Krishna Leelas. So look at the difference, again, in the Shrotas. Gita is being delivered to a Agyani, Arjun. Although he's also a God-realized saint, but he's playing the part of an Agyani because that's the level of the knowledge of the Gita. And Bhagavatam is called Paramahansa Sanghita. It's for those who are already God-realized. It's for us as well. We're not God-realized and we can also benefit from the Bhagavatam. But Bhagavatam is also for those God-realized saints who have yet to attain Krishna love, or for those jnanis and yogis who have attained formless God, it's for them as well. So in this way also, Bhagavatam begins where the Gita ends. The Gita ends with Arjun saying, now my confusion is gone, I've received jnana with your grace. So now we're ready for Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam is for a jnani. In fact, after the Gita finished, after Arjun became Gita Gyani, later on he asked Krishna, after Mahabharata war, he said, why are the gopis the greatest saints? What is so great about the gopis? So Krishna explained to Arjun that, Arjun, you know, since I left for Mathura, I haven't gone back to the gopis. and they are in so much viraha from me that they can barely keep their soul in their body. In fact, it would be easier for them to just let themselves leave their body. That would be easier for them, rather than enduring this separation from me. Do you know why they keep their soul, their prana, in their body, Arjun? Because they believe this body belongs to Krishna. So how can I leave my body if Krishna comes back to Braj and he says, what? This gopi left? What right did she have to leave? Her tan, man, prana, dhan, everything she gave to me. So unless I say leave your body, what right do you have to leave? This is how the gopis thought. That even my body, my life, my everything belongs to Krishna. So how can I leave my life? How can I leave my body until Krishna comes back? This all belongs to him. So Arjun, can you imagine such selflessness? Such selflessness is not seen anywhere in this world. It's not even seen anywhere amongst any saints other than the gopis. Then Arjun understood. So he said, Krishna, I want to experience what gopis have experienced. Because only gopis get entrance to Maharas, which is also described in the Bhagavatam. Arjun said, I want to experience Maharas. So you know what he did? He went and he did bhakti to Krishna with Madhuri Bhav, loving Krishna with the feelings the gopis had for him. And he got entrance to Ras Leela. Krishna graced him to become Arjuni Gopi. Believe it or not, Arjuna has another form as a gopi. Arjuni Gopi, in which he comes as a gopi and he gets to experience the bliss of Ras Leela with Radha and Krishna. One time actually Naradji came down to earth and he tried to use Gita to cure a situation and it didn't work. He had to take the ashray of Bhagavatam. He came because Naradji can go anywhere he wants. And he came down to earth once Kali Yuga had began after Krishna had left. And he was dismayed to see the effect of Kali Yuga. He saw, everywhere I look, I just see all the people, they're forgetting about truthfulness and austerity or renunciation. They're forgetting about good behavior. They're forgetting about charity. And they're just doing whatever they want to satisfy their physical desires and try to fill their belly. Such is the effect of Kali Yuga. He said, everywhere I looked, I saw people, basically all the people under the effect of Kali Yuga, they're becoming lazy, they're becoming untruthful, lying, their mind is becoming slow, they're becoming like troublemakers in Kali Yuga. He said, everywhere I looked, I saw that there were people posing as saints, pretending to be renounced, yet secretly enjoying all the pleasures of the world. I felt so bad, Naradji said, seeing this effect of Kali Yuga. I went to Vrindavan, and there in Vrindavan, I saw a beautiful young lady sitting with two old men right near her, kind of with their head in her lap. And these two old men seemed so tired, and they were breathing with great difficulty. They were almost unconscious. And all around, there were thousands of other women fanning that one lady with the two men lying there. So Naradji came to her and asked, oh, Deviji, who are you? And who are these two old men? And who are these thousands of other ladies who are around serving you? So she said, I am Bhakti Devi. And these are my sons, Gyan and Vairagya. And all of these women are all of the holy rivers like Ganga and others who are here to serve me. So bhakti has a personal form in the divine world, as do her two sons, Gyan, which means actual spiritual knowledge, and Vairagya, which means renunciation. So, Bhakti Devi said to Narad Ji, Narad, please, just, you are so compassionate. Can you please take some time and listen to my troubles and see if you can do something to help me? Narad said, please tell me, what's happening? She said, since Kaliyug began, all three of us became very old, actually, because of the effect of all the hypocritical teachers and people posing as saints and all the people doing damage to people's devotion. Bhakti Devi said, I became very old and weak, just like my sons are now. So all three of us became old and weak. But we went all around India, and when we came here to Vrindavan, then I became young and beautiful again. But my sons, Gyan and Vairagya, remain old and weak. So Naradji, please tell me why I'm the mother. I should be getting old before them. They're my sons. They should be younger than me. Why are they so old and suffering? Why is this happening to us? And can you please do something to fix it? So Naradji said, this is the effect of Kaliyug. It's ghor Kaliyug. It's such a terrible effect of Kaliyug right now. Kaliyug began, Naradji is explaining to Bhakti Devi, as soon as Krishna left the earth planet, Kaliyug took over. Kaliyug began. And it is the effect of Kaliyug that people neglect bhakti. They just get involved in all of their worldly desires and they neglect bhakti. And if they don't do bhakti, then jnana and vairagya also. Because through bhakti, you get jnana and vairagya. By doing devotion to God, you get real spiritual understanding through the experience you get through bhakti. And through that experience, you also develop renunciation from the world naturally as your bhakti develops. That's why the sons of bhakti are jnana and vairagya. So in Kaliyug, nobody follows jnana or vairagya or tap or yoga or any kind of path like this. Naradji says there's no yogi, there's no jnani, there's no siddha. No such thing in Kaliyug. It's so bad. He's explaining to Bhakti Devi. And this affected all three of you. But when you came here to Vrindavan, the effect of Vrindavan made you, Bhakti Devi, young again. But your sons, Gyan and Vairagya, even here in Vrindavan, there's no one interested in them. So they are still in that state. So Bhakti Devi asked, why did Parikshit let Kaliyug go free? Why didn't he just kill Kaliyug when he had the chance? And secondly, Krishna is compassionate. Why is he allowing this to happen? So Naradji explained that actually Parikshit decided to let Kaliyug go for one reason only. Because in Kaliyug, you can get just by doing kirtan of Krishna, kirtan with smaran. You can get the effect, what you would get by doing in other yugas, by following path of jnana, by doing great austerities, by doing great yoga, by doing great yajnas, or following all kinds of dharma and karma, all these difficult things which are impossible in Kaliyug and are even difficult to do in other yugas. In Kaliyug, just by doing kirtan, you can get the very same result. So for that reason, Parikshit let Kaliyug go free. Kaler doshani dherajan nastihye ko mahan gunah kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangah param vrajet. Shukadevji told Parikshit that this Kaliyug is like the ocean of avaguna. It has all the bad qualities. Everything is bad about Kaliyug. But it has one great quality. That in Kaliyug you can attain Krishna just by doing kirtan. Krite yadhyayato vishnum tretayam yajato makhai dvapare paricharyayam kalau taddhari kirtanat. Shukadeva ji says, in Krityug and Satyug, you have to do great, means just renounce everything, go to the jungle and meditate on Krishna. In Treta-yug, you have to, the way of doing it, you have to do great rituals, yajñas, as well as meditating. In Dwapar-yug, you have to do all kinds of puja. In Kali-yug, just kirtan. So Parikshit thought, I should let Kali-yug happen because this is so great. In Kali-yug, these souls who are going to be born during Kali-yug, they will benefit from this. They'll get the chance to attain Krishna so easily if they just adopt this form of devotion. That's why Parikshit let Kali-yug go free. And Naradji went on to say, and regarding Krishna, he is compassionate and he's nearby, he's not far, and he knows everything that's going on. But these other bad qualities of Kali-yug, they're just the nature of Kali-yug. So if Kali-yug's here, you have to take the good with the bad. The good meaning that it's very easy to become God-realized in Kali-yug. If you just love Krishna by remembering his leelas and sing those leelas, using the material that's given to us by Vedavyasji and the Bhagavatam and all the other saints, that's such a great Mahan Guna that it overrides all the other bad gunas. So if you're going to let it be Kali-yug, you have to take the good with the bad. So Krishna can't change that, but he is compassionately waiting for us to come to him. So Bhakti Devi said, thank you for clearing my doubts, Naradji. Now can you please do something to make Jnana and Vairagya better? So Naradji, you know, he tried shaking them and yelling in their ears, Gyan, Gyan, wake up, Vairagya, wake up. Didn't work. He tried reciting Vedas, Vedant. He recited Gita many, many times. And it had some effect. They kind of woke up a little bit. With great difficulty, they sat up. They were yawning. They couldn't even open their eyes. And then they were so tired, they just lay back down. Went back into unconsciousness. Naradji said, what to do? I don't know. He closed his eyes and thought of Krishna. Just then there was an Akashvani, which said, Naradji, you will be successful in your endeavor. You have to do a great satkarma. There's something great you have to do. And what that thing is, you will learn from some saints. They will tell you. And that was it. Naradji said, well, I need to know more. I don't know what I have to do. I don't know what saints are going to tell me what I have to do or where I can find them. So Naradji started going to all the holy places, and every saint that he met, he would tell them the whole story and ask them, what should I do? Do you know what this Akashvani was referring to? And wherever he went, all of the saints he met, they all said, you recited Vedas and Vedant and Gita and that didn't do it? It means whatever is bothering them is incurable. We have no answer for you. Naradji didn't know what to do. He went to Badriban and he sat down thinking, now I'm just going to do austerities until I figure out a way to fix this. Just then Sanakadik Paramahans come, four eternal Jnani saints, avatar of Bhagwan. And they say, Naradji, what you have to do is tell Bhagavatam. If they hear Bhagavatam, they'll be revived. They'll become young and strong and healthy again. Naradji said, why will Bhagavatam work? I already told Ved, Upanishads, Vedant, Gita. So when Bhagavatam is the essence of all of that, why would it have any different effect? Bhagavatam is the essence of all these things that I already told, so why would it have a different effect? Sanakadik Paramahans said, Narad, just like the whole tree has the essence of the fruit, but only when it forms the fruit, then you take that fruit, people get excited about that. The fruit has a special value. So even though it's the essence of the tree, yet the fruit itself has a special value. Just like sugar is there in the sugar cane, but once you extract it and refine it, it has a special value. Ghee is there in milk, but once you extract the ghee, then it has a special taste and it's used for certain things. So in the same way, yes, Bhagavatam is the essence of Vedas and Upanishads, but that essence, that fruit, has a special value. So they need to hear Bhagavatam. Okay, tell me, where should we do this? They said, near Haridwar, there's a beautiful ghat named Anand Ghat. There the sand on the bank of Gangaji is so soft, and even the animals around that area, even the lions and tigers and elephants, they're all, you know, normally trying to eat each other. They all get along in harmony at that Anand Ghat. There are many saints who live there, both visible and invisible. We should go there and have Bhagavat recital. So it was all arranged. Naradji went ahead, prepared a proper asana for Sanakadik Paramahans. They came and sat. The other 17 Puranas came in their personal form, sat down to listen. Gita came, sat down to listen. All the Vedas and Upanishads came in their personal form. The six Darshan Shastras came. All the holy rivers and holy places of India came in their personal forms and sat to listen. All the eternal saints came with all of their disciples and families, and there was a big crowd to hear the recitation of Bhagavatam by Sanakadik Paramahans in 2842 BC, the third official public recitation of Bhagavatam. So, of course, when they started telling Bhagavatam, Gyan, Vairagya, and of course Bhakti Devi came and appeared. And by the end of the Bhagavatam recital, of course Bhakti Devi had already been revived by going to Vrindavan, but Gyan and Vairagya also became young and strong again. So this whole story, which is part of the Bhagavat Mahatmya, again tells the greatness of Bhagavatam, how it is beyond Gita, that when Gita didn't work, Bhagavatam did. Sanakadik Paramahans told Naradji, you're the one who told Vedavyasji when he was restless even after writing Gita, you told him you have to write Bhagavatam. So we see that Bhagavatam is a very special scripture, and tomorrow we'll go further. We'll understand why that where Gita says, surrender to Krishna, Bhagavatam tells exactly how to surrender to Him. And not just surrender to Him, but how to love Him. And we'll hear another story from Bhagavat Mahatmya about Gokarna and Dhundukari. So we'll finish by singing one of those beautiful Krishna Leelas by Kripaluji Maharaj, which is the same ras of the Bhagavatam which woke up Gyan and Vairagya. The same thing is in these Leelas described by Sri Maharaji. So this is a Madhuri Bhav Leela. Can you pass these out? Maybe give some to get a few people to help you. This is a Madhuri Bhav Leela, a very charming Leela between a gopi and Krishna. So while we sing this, open your heart up and try to receive the ras of this Leela and actually visualize it happening before you. Ite ko to anatuk kanha Kanha, Kanha, Kanha. Itko to anatuk kanha, 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 kanha. तू तो करे सब की ही सेवा नित कान्हा तू तो करे सब की ही सेवा नित कान्हा सखन सखिन कहा कान्हा 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 सखन सखिन कहा कान्हा 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 मम गोबर टो करी टुक कान्हा मम गोबर टो करी टुक कान्हा आजा उठवा दे कान्हा 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 आजा उठवा दे कान्हा 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 नाटुक कान्हा 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 तव बाबा को न चाकर कान्हा तव बाबा को न तब बाबा को न चाकर कह कान्हा तब बाबा को न चाकर नंद राय सुत कान्हा 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 सुत कान्हा 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 सखी कह प्रतिटो करी दऊ कान्हा सखी कह प्रतिटो करी दऊ कान्हा माखन लौंदा कान्हा 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 माखन लौंदा कान्हा 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 हम दो गिनती न जाने कह कान्हा हम दो गिनती न जाने कह कान्हा भाई जित टोकरी कान्हा 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 भाई जित टोकरी कान्हा 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 को तो आना टुक कान्हा 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 सखी कह जे तिक टोकरी कान्हा सखी कह जे तिक टोकरी कान्हा उठवई हौ सिर कान्हा 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 वही हौ सिर कान्हा 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 उतनी गोबर टीका कान्हा उतनी गोबर टीका कान्हा दऊं तब गालन कान्हा 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 गालन कान्हा 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 को तो आना टुक कान्हा 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 मानी गयो तब भोरो कान्हा मान मानी गयो तब भोरो कान्हा लार गिरी मुख कान्हा 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 गिरी मुख कान्हा 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 दो कपोल गोबर को कान्हा दो कपोल गोबर को कान्हा
का भरी गयो कान्हा 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 का भरी गयो कान्हा 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 अवती का दिए माथे कान्हा अवती का दिए माथे कान्हा उन्हीं कह चलु घर कान्हा 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 तुम्हें कह चलु घर कान्हा 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 को तो आना टुक कान्हा 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 घर दर्पण दिखाय मुख कान्हा घर दर्पण दिखाय मुख कान्हा हसी सबै सखी कान्हा 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 सब सखी कान्हा 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 लखी कृपालु अस मुख छवि कान्हा लखी कृपालु अस मुख छवि कान्हा सर्वस वारों कान्हा 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 सुवारो कान्हा 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 को तो आना टुक कान्हा 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 इत को तो आना टुक कान्हा 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 कृष्ण कन्हैया लाल की जय। बिफोर वी डू द आरती टुनाइट आई जस्ट वांट टू इनवाइट डॉक्टर नरेंद्र भलोटकर टू कम फॉरवर्ड एंड मेक एन अनाउंसमेंट।
Hola, Radhe, everybody. Dear devotees and divine souls, I hope all of you are enjoying this spiritual yagna of Bhagavata. I know it is bringing manasik shanti, anand and purity. When I was a little kid, I used to listen to Narsi Mehta's bhajan, in which he used to say, Harina janato mukti na mage, mage mage janam avtarve. And I couldn't understand why would Narsi Mehta ask such a thing. And now we understand from your discourse that truly realized saints do not want mukti, but they want really repeated avatars so that they can reach the personal form of God. As with any yagna, it is performed for uplifting of all the participants, including the host. And in the Bhagavat Mahima, the shloka goes, Sachidananda Rupaya Vishvotpatyadi Hetave Tapatraya Vinashaya Shri Krishnaya Vayam Numa. Vayam means we, and Numa means we are bowing down and praying and offering. And in this yagna, to achieve the destruction of all the trivittab that we all are suffering from, we are participating and offering ourselves and our abilities. And all of us should be able to offer the yathashakti in terms of tan, man, dhan or time. Since most of us are not able to offer much of tan and time because of our limitations, and of course we are offering the man during our discourses, what is left is dhan. And I think to conduct such a undertaking, it requires a lot of effort and financial support. The rental of this hall and the food and other amenities does cost. It approximates to around $450 per day. And I would urge all of us, including myself, that we open our heart, and if we really enjoy this spiritual discourse and we really like it and we want to continue for many, 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 many years to come, with Swamiji's permission and his desire to join us, I think all of us can contribute yathashakti. No amount is small and the sky is the limit. So please, with that request and urge, I say Radhe Radhe. Radhe.
We can all stand for the aarti, and those who need the words will pass out sheets with the words for the aarti. Can you guys pass out sheets to people? Can share it around to a few people and they can pass it. Turn to the side of the page which has the Radha Krishna Aarti.
Aarti Pritam Pyari Ki Ki Vanvari Natvari Ki. Aarti Pritam Pyari Ki Ki Vanvari Natvari Ki. Dumun Sir Kanak Mukut Jhalak Sudha Chalke Chasile Man
श्याम की श्रीमत सद्गुरु सरकार की जय जय श्री राधे जय जय श्री राधे जय जय श्री राधे, जै जै श्री राधे।